Hello and welcome to the Doorstep Mixtape featuring your host, me, Tim Lee. Between 2017 and 2020, I hosted a weekly radio show which showcased the very best local musicians from the northwest of England. Each week, a special guest would discuss their process of making music and then play some live songs in the studio. Looking back on this wonderful time I had on the show, I just couldn't let these interviews gather dust. So over the coming weeks, I'm going to be delving into the archive to bring you some of my favourite interviews and live performances. Whether you're local to the northwest of England music scene or not, I think you'll find plenty of fascinating nuggets from my guests about how they're inspired to create music and the musicians who inspire them. So sit back, relax, grab yourself a glass of something medicinal and listen to a laid-back chat about how songwriters do what they do. For this episode, I'm going back to 2017 where I interview the wonderful Gary Wilcox, one half of Wilcox Hulse and one fifth of Don't Call Me Ishmael.
The Doorstep Mixtape with Tim Lee on Redshift Radio.
It's Thursday night. It's time for your weekly dose of eclectic, wonderful music on the Doorstep Mixtape. With your host, me, Tim Lee. I've got an exclusive interview and live tracks from my Doorstep Artist of the Week, Gary Wilcox, one half of the wonderful Wilcox Hulse, a superb acoustic folk roots duo from Staffordshire. Gary Wilcox and Phil Hulse have over 17 years experience of playing music together, but have only just struck out on their own as a duo and have an exciting new album out, so I'm going to be talking to Gary about that. Unfortunately, Phil's wife is ill tonight, so he won't be joining us, so we wish her a speedy recovery. But Gary will be joining me in the studio to talk about Wilcox Hulse's brand new album, All Change, and to showcase their unique take on roots music on some exclusive live tracks in the studio. My very special guest for this week arrived by car. Yeah, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah. I made a joke with Jonathan Tarpley a couple of weeks back that he'd arrived by private jet. I don't know if they have an airport in Stoke-on-Trent, but we could always find out from my special guest, who is tonight the wonderful Gary Wilcox. Hello.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. You're sounding slick tonight. Sounding good.
than what? That's what
no,
you
no,
did.
No, no, no. Slicker than no. Just sounding slick.
Slick.
Sounding good.
Yeah, in other words, I'm sort of slipping on every word.
No, that's not what I meant, and you knew it. No, sounding good tonight.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Enjoying the show the last few weeks.
Thank you very much. And that's high praise indeed, because Gary, if you didn't know, as well as being in every wonderful band that Stoke-on-Trent has produced in the last 5 years, is also a DJ on a similar show on Moorlands Radio, yes. Which is in Leek.
It is.
And it's called The Quiet Revolution.
It is. Very similar, I suppose, to hour two of this show in the fact that it just our 2 hours are entirely dedicated to local music and usually local original music. We do have the odd cover, but yeah, just to put this great music that we have in the air out there. And it feels quite strange tonight because you've obviously visited on our show a number of times. In fact, I think you're up there in the top three or four artists who've appeared the most often in the life of the Quiet Revolution. So it feels quite strange being interviewed by you this time.
But I'm trying to remember when I first came in. Was it 2010 or something? 2011. It was a while ago.
So the Quiet Revolution's existed since 2012. You probably did appear before that with either Paul Oldfield or Glenn Andrews. I think the first time you appeared for me was very early 2013, so over 4 years ago. Yeah,
but it's a great show, and it continues to grow. You now have a co-presenter as well, who we've played one of her tracks on the show, Emily Jones.
Yes, and she's far better than me. She's brought the level of professionalism up a huge amount, but it's been great. She joined in March of last year, so about 1.5 years we've been presenting together now.
Yeah.
It's such fun on a Monday night. We have such a great time.
It is a great show, and I can sort of give it a good plug because it's not on a Thursday night, so it's
all good.
Yeah, that's
there's,
right.
There's room enough. There's that much great music being made in the Cheshire and Staffordshire area that we can both share it, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And we do give your show a plug from time to time.
Excellent, so. Excellent. So, yes, you are, of course, one half of Wilcox Hulse, one quarter of... Is that right?
Oh, no, one... Well, one are you going to say Don't Call Me Ishmael?
Yeah.
One fifth.
One fifth, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're a five-piece with Ishmael now, but yes, one half, 50% of Wilcox Hulse, and I do apologise on Phil's behalf, he couldn't make it tonight, family illness, but we'll definitely come back, the two of us, at some point in the very near future, as soon as you'll have us. So I apologise, you've got the slightly weaker half of Wilcox Hulse, but I'm here all the same.
Yeah, we definitely wish Phil's wife all the best. I was saying at the top of the hour that she's not so well at the moment, so we really do wish her all the best.
Big and love to Gio.
Yeah, I hope Phil's all right as well. So, and yeah, of course, whenever you want to come in, you two, you're always welcome. So, thanks for that. I sound like I'm about to say goodbye to you. Sorry.
Well, to be honest, that's one of the easiest interviews I've ever done.
That was good. Yeah, I thought that went well actually. Yeah. So anyway, end of the show. No, sorry.
It's probably going to be down. Hill from here anyway, Tim, so don't worry.
Excellent. So I've got a few daft questions here, but I'm sure we'll go off this. But I always ask everyone that comes on what the kind of earliest memories of music are, what really sort of sparked your wanting to be a songwriter and a musician in the first place.
Right, so I'll take a couple of backward steps first. So I've always been obsessed with music.
Yeah.
Since my earliest memories are actually being at a gig. So I think I was about three or four, and a band called Darts came to play at the Victoria Hall.
What was their big hit?
Well, they had a few big hits. The big one was The Boy from New York City.
Yeah,
They also had Duke of Earl was one of theirs. Yeah. And one or two others. They had a string of hits in the late 70s and early 80s. And
you have very cool parents.
Possibly.
I'm guessing you were there with your parents.
Yes, I was.
You didn't just go in to a gig as a 3-year-old.
No. So it took me. I was probably four.
Yeah.
Three or four, and we were in the balcony.
Yeah.
And one of the members of Darts was a guy called Den Hegarty, and at some point in the gig, he decided to climb up to the balcony and try to take me on stage because I was the only. Just very young child in that concert, and my mum and dad wouldn't let me go on, but right. I think I was probably itching to get on stage even then.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that gig is that I have a friend now who was at that gig. He's about 15 years older than me, and he was at that gig and remembers this incident as well. So that's my very earliest memory of music. My earliest memory in terms of songs that made me want to be a songwriter. Very, very clear. Again, I remember I was 11 this time, and I was sitting on a Saturday morning and in the living room at home, and when the Chart Show used to be on TV on a Saturday morning.
I used to sit absolutely glued to the...
Me too.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably when they were running down the indie chart maybe 1 week. And the song came on, and I'd just never seen anything like it before, never heard anything like it. And I just thought it was just one man and a guitar, but it was being played in a completely different way. And the artist was Billy Bragg.
Right.
The song was Levi Stubbs' Tears. And right then I knew I wanted to write songs because I heard this guy who didn't have a perfect voice.
Yeah.
I think he's got an amazing voice, but it's not pitch perfect like all the other pop stars at the time. It was something completely different. It had character. The video was very stark. It's mostly just him in a totally black room. I think a trumpet player appears on the solo at one point. Yep. Very, very stark, very bland video in some ways. It was just really focusing on the words and the music it was playing. I was absolutely blown away. I loved it. And that's from then on, I thought I have to write songs.
I think it's, you've touched on something there. I kind of felt that a bit, not quite as cool as Billy Bragg, but when I first, started singing along to James Taylor, songs, and I realized that I could actually reach the notes and it wasn't like some alien thing that was like totally you couldn't get to. And later on with the sort of the grunge thing in the early 90s, and it almost gives you permission to be able to try music, especially if you're fairly shy guy yourself, like myself, and you almost look at these musicians when you're very young and you think, oh, I could never do that. And then you hear people like Billy Bragg, although they're incredible musicians, but like you say, not with a pitch perfect voice. So it almost gives you permission to think, you know, I could do this,
yeah,
you know, which is what's so great about punk and grunge and those sort of, I'm glad I grew up at the time of people like that rather than the sort of virtuosos that I could never emulate, you know.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my formative years with music, really, I suppose, the ones that really stick in my mind are probably about 1986 to 1988. Those 3 years when I was just obsessed with the charts. I was buying records all of the time. And a lot of the music then has stayed with me forever. So the House Martins and Billy Bragg, as I mentioned. Also, I suppose, there was a lot of music. Paul Simon was released the Graceland album. And there's just lots of stuff that came out then that I still listen to regularly now.
I was going to ask you about Paul Simon, actually, because I know we share a love for Paul Simon. And you've actually written a song called Paul Simon, which I was gutted you got there first.
Yeah.
But it's a great song.
Yeah, so it's a song that Jack from Don't Call Me Ishmael wrote.
Oh, OK. I'll take it back then.
Yeah, no, Jack wrote it, and it was... We covered a Paul Simon song on the Ishmael.
Yeah,
the
You Can Call Me Out.
We didn't.
Oh, no, sorry, Boy in the Bubble.
Boy in the Bubble, same album.
Yeah.
And I said I wanted to put this cover on the album, and then a few days later, Jack bought this song called Paul Simon to the group, and the first line of it is, stop trying to write songs like Paul Simon. I don't know if what he was trying to tell me, but...
Do you know, when I first heard that song and it had that line, I thought, I mean, this is how narcissistic I am, but I heard that and I thought, he's having a go at me. He's heard my music and thought, listen, stop trying to write Paul songs like Paul Simon. You'll never be as good as him. Just give up now. And I was like, Gary...
I didn't write that song. It's the only song on the album I didn't have anything to do with at all. It was Jack bought that. I mean, love the song. We play it often live. And I think it's actually, there's another song on the album called Bury Me Standing, which Jack and I wrote together. And I think they both have a very similar theme. It's about the often fragile ego of the artist, I suppose, really, and that kind of uncertainty and kind of wondering whether what you're doing is worthy or what you're doing is even any good. And I think every artist of every kind of art, not just music, but whether you write or whether you draw or paint or whatever, I think everybody goes through those periods kind of uncertainty. And that's what those songs are about, rather than being specifically stop trying to write songs like Paul Simon.
Brilliant. So, I mean, the songs that you're referring to come from... You have another band as well as Wilcox Hulse, of course, called Don't Call Me Ishmael.
Yes.
And they've just released... You've released two albums in, like,
a year.
So you've got this one, you've got the Wilcox Hulse one. But tell us a little bit, as Phil isn't here to stop you, tell us a little bit about Don't Call Me Ishmael to begin
with. Yeah, he would stop me if I was here to say and rightly so. So Don't Call Me Ishmael started as a solo project back in 2014, and to be honest, I play the ukulele, as you're about to hear. It isn't the greatest solo instrument in the world, to be perfectly honest. It's quite a thin sound. You know, it works in a kind of small studio like this. It actually works for a few songs on stage, but a whole set of just one man and a uke is not that great. So very quickly decided that it would be nice to flesh out the album. And so Jack and Sophie from a band called The Taskers, who were the two people who really encouraged me to put that to put a solo thing out anyway, we agreed to they would be the band on the first album. And really, it was just the three of us. But actually, then at the last minute, we got a few extra instruments, one of which was Matt Plant playing viola, who subsequently has joined the band full time.
Wow.
And also we had a trumpet player, my wife's playing oboe on there, we had some cello, and it worked really well. So the second album, which we released in May of this year, that is the first one we've done really as a full band. So the songs were written, Jack and myself, but then fleshed out. The next thing we do will probably be even more of a band thing. And I think you can hear the evolution of sound across the two albums. The first one, I recorded all the tracks and we added things to it. This time we built it from the bottom up, so to speak. So the drums and the bass and built everything else up. But Ishmael's really, Don't Call Me Ishmael's really a true band now. It's a 5-piece band.
And, yeah, definitely.
When we play live, there's so much energy there. It's so much fun to play in Ishmael. It's all the, you know, you get to rock out a bit, really. Wilcott Sulz is very much a folk outfit.
Yeah.
And I think we're used to playing to very listening audiences who are a joy to play for in folk clubs and things like that. Ishmael's a bit more down and dirty, and both of them have an equal place in my heart. I love both of them so much, and I'm just grateful I get to play music with a lot of talented people.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, one of the questions I was going to ask you later, but kind of fits in with what you just said, but you write all of the songs for Don't Call Me Ishmael?
Yeah, along with Jack. So yeah. On the last album, there was a couple that I wrote myself, one that Jack wrote, and the rest we wrote together.
And yeah. You write most of the songs for Wilcott Sulz?
Well, Wilcott Sulz is pretty much a 50-50 down okay. the line. So Phil writes half the songs and I write half the songs. So there's 11 songs on the album, one cover and five songs each. I mean, we write the song, then we bring it and we work out the arrangements together. But just Phil's got two children, and the same with Don't Call Me Ishmael. Our bass player Rob lives in London. Matt, the viola player, and Jack, the guitarist, are in Birmingham. Sophie, who plays the drums, is in Stafford. We're right. spread out a bit. So it's necessity. So we tend to just write and then bring things together at the last minute. So,
okay, well, that kind of answered my question. I was going to ask you, like, how do you decide which song is a Wilcott Sulz type song, which is a bit, if you're doing it more as a collaborative
well,
thing?
I mean, basically, I found it quite difficult to start with, but the two bands have kind of, the two acts have kind of moved away from each other now. Yeah. So Wilcott Sulz is very much contemporary folk. So yeah. I suppose subject matter is one area that kind of divides it a little bit. So with Wilcott Sulz, a lot of songs of about the local area, about the local yeah. history, social conscience songs. Whereas Ishmael tends to be a bit more kind of inward looking, a little
yeah.
bit more
okay, that's
personal these days. But initially there was no real difference. It was just, oh, that kind of works for that kind
yeah.
of. But now they feel quite different.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm sure there's a bit of a overlap as well, because you don't want to kind of pigeonhole yourself too much with either band, really. So I'm sure in the future you might, you never know, try them out with both and see, well, audition them with both bands. I don't
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the songs I'm going to play tonight, I've played with Ishmael once before, and also Phil and I have talked about doing a Don't Call Me Ishmael song in Wilcott Sulz. The songs should all work acoustically, even though Don't Call Me Ishmael is quite rocky
yeah.
these days.
Yeah.
They still break down, and we play a lot of acoustic gigs. And when we play acoustically, we get a lot of comparisons with people like Belle and Sebastian with this kind of folksy edge. So if I'm involved in the songwriting, I suppose there's always going to be some similarities there. But at the moment, they're kind of easily defined when I write them. I don't ever sit down and think, I'm going to write a Wilcott yeah. Sulz song, but yeah. you just know when you're starting.
Yeah, exactly. And I've listened to both albums quite recently. The Don't Call Me Ishmael new album is called I'm Broken But I'm Fine.
Yes.
Which has one of the best opening songs of an album I've heard in a long time, some
That's
of my parts.
That's very kind of you to say.
It's really sort of like The Who sort of coming in. I was really surprised, because the album before that was quite big, but it, like you say, it didn't have as big a sound.
No, it didn't. It's pure glam rock boogie,
it's
song,
fantastic. I love that song. I played it a few weeks ago on my first
you
show.
You did, and I was listening. I was quite strange, because I don't play my music on the radio. I always feel like it's a bit of an abuse of power if we're having my own radio show, if I play my own music, so yeah. I don't play it. So to tune
it's good to hear
it
on the radio,
and hear
yeah.
my music on the radio was lovely. It was so thank you very much. But it does all get a bit status quo, that song, on stage sometimes. It's but no, I love playing it, and really, really good fun to play that one live.
It's a good one. And I've been listening to All Change, which is the new album by by Wilcox Hulse today a couple of times in the car on the way home, and it lyrically as hard hitting, I think, as Don't Call Me Ishmael, maybe even more, like you say, more political.
Yeah.
But the sound, I don't want to say gentle because that makes it sound like boring, and it's certainly not boring. I mean, one of the things I've noticed, because I was reading up on you guys, and it said that you'd been making music together for something like 17 years or something.
It's actually, yeah, it's probably more than that now. So,
and you can sort of tell from the album, it almost sounds like, you know, like George Harrison when he did his first album, and you can tell he'd been storing those songs up for years, and he was like, I finally get to. And there's something very fully formed sounding about the album that it's something that I think. The more I listen to it, the more I'm going to get something different from it every time. They're not the sort of, they're very intricate songs. They're very easy to listen to as well. Don't get me wrong. They're not like, oh, this is a bit hard hitting. They're very easy to listen to, but very intelligent, well-formed songs, very strong songs from beginning to end. There's no notes out of place or, you know, it doesn't sound like an experimental album that you're making up as you go along. It sounds like the sort of songs that you've been wanting to get out there together for a long time. So tell us a little bit about how you guys, tell us about your history, because it's quite interesting.
So I'll give you a quick potted history.
Yeah.
So we first started playing together in 1994 in a school band, effectively. And that went on until 2000, and then we three of us from that band, which was myself, Phil, and my brother Duncan, we went on to form a band called the Queensbury Rules, which was originally motivated or kind of influenced by Crowded House and things like that. It was meant to be a bit of an acoustic skiffly kind of sound. I was playing a stand-up snare drum.
Oh, right.
And my brother played double bass, and Phil was on guitar, and it was meant to be a kind of acoustic skiffle pop.
Right.
But it actually rapidly, we played a few folk clubs, and it kind of took us down a different, down a rabbit hole, really, of music that we didn't really know. So we got into bands like Show of Hands and singers like Jez Lowe that we didn't really know about to that point. And we started playing folk clubs, and we were together for 10 years. The Queensbury Rules finished in 2011. But we were very fortunate. We signed a deal with a label called Fellside, who are one of the biggest folk labels in the country.
Wow.
They put four albums out for us, and through that we got to play some very big festivals. We got to travel all over the world. So we played, we gigged in the Netherlands, we gigged in Denmark, we went to Canada and played some gigs in Canada.
Wow.
And we had just an amazing time. We loved it. And we didn't split up in 2011 because we stopped enjoying it, but I felt we'd at that time gone really as far as we could go. We were never quite folky enough for the traditional folk clubs. We were never quite contemporary enough for the kind of acoustic clubs either, and we had a very loyal following, but I felt like we kind of reached and achieved what we set out to do. So we split up in 2011, took a couple of years off, and then in the summer of 2013 Phil got back in touch and said, do you fancy doing something again? I miss playing. By this point, my brother Duncan was in another band called the Jake Leg Jug Band, who are still around now, playing
I've heard of them,
1920s and 30s jazz in period costume.
Excellent.
And they're doing brilliantly. They're playing all over the country now, and a lot of festivals. They're a really, really, really good band. Great to see live as well, and put four albums out now. So Phil and I just set out on this duo thing, and we put two EPs out. And then earlier this month, 9th of September, just a few weeks ago, we launched our debut album. So up to this point, we'd only put 2 5-track EPs out. And these songs really haven't been around all that long, predominantly. Some of them have been in the set for a couple of years.
Okay.
Our last EP was released in March 15. So some of the songs have been around for a couple of years since then. But actually, as with all these things, we decided we wanted to put the album out, and then 4 or 5 songs were written in the weeks leading up to the album launch, really, because we needed to get them done. So, some of them have lived and breathed for a while, and then others were relatively new to the set.
Okay. I think it definitely has a sound that goes through the whole album, actually. It's got one of my favourite things about great albums is when they function as a complete feeling, and you kind of I feel like it doesn't jar, this album, or the songs go nicely into each other, you know. Anyway, I think we've talked long enough. I think we need to hear some live music now, so I'll stop waffling and let you introduce your first song.
I think it's more important you stop me waffling. Rather perversely then, I'm going to start the session with the song that ends the album.
Okay.
This is a song called Stand Softly. It was originally written for a festival we played a couple of years ago. We were asked to play the Stafford Green Arts Festival. It's an eco festival, and we were asked to write a song for the session. This is the song I wrote. It's about minimizing our kind of impact upon the earth, and it's called Stand Softly.
Okay.
Generation didn't do enough. So stand softly and tread gently. Earth isn't ours for a takeover attempt. This is your land. This is my land. Why do stand
Fantastic. That was Gary Wilcox from Wilcox Hulse with his song, which is called
Stand Softly.
Stand Softly, which is the last song on the brand new album, All Change. So, yeah, I love that. That was really good. I hope I did it justice on the mic there, but that sounded really, really good. So, yeah, you've told us a little bit about your new album. Where can people find it?
So they can buy physical copies from our Bandcamp page, or actually the Bandcamp page of Droma Records. So the album is released on Droma Records, which is the label that Jack and Sophie from Don't Call Me Ishmael run. They put lots of music out, so it's the label that's released Emily Jones's new...
Cut to the Quick. Great EP.
They've got the new EP from The King's Pistol is going to be released through Droma. Some new Attack of the Vapors stuff, John McLeod's band. So, yeah, you can find them. It's the Droma Records Bandcamp, which I think is dromarecords.bandcamp.com. and you can also get the downloads, digital versions on all your usual. So it's on Spotify, it's on Amazon, it's on iTunes and all the others in between.
How did the album launch go? I was gutted I couldn't come along. It looked an amazing night.
Do you know, I think it's one of the best gigs that I've ever been involved in. It was just, I don't know what it was. I think everything came together. The venue was beautiful. It was St. Lawrence's Church in Biddulph. The sound was incredible. We had John Haley on sound, who's done every album launch that we've been involved in for the last 10 years, but going back to Queensbury Rules days. He knows our sound and he just got it working beautifully. It was a great crowd. And we had Matt playing viola, Matt Plant and Jack Tasker on bass. And just we played really well, and you know all the bits just fell into place.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I was able to kind of while we were playing look around and just enjoy the moment, which normally you know with gigs it's a frantic kind of burst of energy just trying to get through to the end without making too many mistakes. But this one was just I had a sense of calm that came over me, and I just really really enjoyed it, and it went brilliantly well.
And you were supported by Dawson Dean, weren't you?
We were.
They've just got a new album out as well, Good Times, that I played a track from last week, hoping to get them in soon as well. So
yes, so they're launching their album next Saturday at Biddulph Town Hall.
They are.
If they're listening, by the way, how come you've got a copy of the album and I haven't? Never mind Good Times, this is Bad Times. So Chris and Graham... sorted out.
He's not happy.
No.
He's not happy. Right, okay, we better get on with another song, actually, because believe it or not, we've only got like 12 minutes left. And we've got both of your song picks to put into that, so...
Right.
Oh, no, we've got a bit longer.
I thought we were on top 10.
Yeah, I've got an underrun of 12 minutes. I'm never quite sure what that means, but we'll go with it, see what happens.
You'll never underrun with me in the studio, I can tell you, so...
I got so carried away talking to Ian from the Hewers last week that I had to play both of his song choices this week, so I'm hoping it's not like a domino effect that we just end up, you know, I'm going to end up playing your songs like in 3 weeks' time and then so on and so on.
Yeah, no, let's just go with it. Let's get the song first. Well, yeah, let's do another song. I'll play another song and then you can get a song.
Yeah, okay. And then after this, we'll talk about what you've got coming up.
Okay.
Next.
All right, so this is the opening track from the album.
Seamless. Go on, go for it.
This is Shepherds of the Sea.
Okay.
Set out to sea, down the white stone steps to the harbour wall. A window today could bring a champion haul, or it could be the trip that takes our lives in summer. Backs and the waves like a mill pond. But in winter and in times of howling gale, she will got the deckhands up and the rest of the crew. I started up the engines and pulled up along by. We saw 100 people huddled inside. They'd risked it all for a better life. Never underestimate its ability to deceive. It's an adversary worthy of anything that you or I could achieve.
Listen to that all night. That's fantastic. So that was you've done the bookends there, haven't you? So you did the last one, Stand Softly, and the first one off the album, which is called Shepherds of the Sea.
Yes.
And yeah, that was really special stuff. It's even though Wilcox and Hulse, there's only the two of you, I think even just having one there makes it quite special. It's the no safety net approach makes it even more special, I think, on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, let's say the uke does sound okay in this kind of environment. It's not strong enough an instrument, I don't think, on its own, unless you're a real kind of virtuoso and can
Tiny Tim or something
like
that.
Yeah, Tiny Tim could do it. Yeah, maybe I should be doing Tiptoe Through the Tulips tonight. I don't know, but mostly I just don't think it's strong enough as a kind of lead instrument. But we're fortunate enough. I also play the cajon. Phil plays the bouzouki. Matt is now joining us kind of part-time as well on the viola. So
I really want to hear that live with the viola. That's such a great instrument.
You will do. And in fact, maybe we'll come and play as a trio for you in the future. Maybe we can sort that out when we come back in again. That'd be amazing.
I'd love that, yeah. I'd struggle enough with one microphone, let alone trying to mic up a viola, but I think it'll be worth it, definitely, because it is such a great, great sounding instrument.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of the ukulele, really. It's difficult to write a sad song on a ukulele, I've heard, and it's difficult to write a happy one on a viola, so maybe you sort of meet in the middle.
I don't know, I don't write a lot of happy songs, so it's got to be sad. I suppose the difficulty...
You see it as a challenge, I think. We've had this discussion before. I'm the same. I pick up the ukulele and think, right, I'm going to write the most miserable song. It doesn't always work like that, but...
No, it doesn't always work like that. But, musically, though, it's difficult because the viola's in the high register, the same as the ukulele, same as... the bouzouki, so
right.
That's why we've got bass on a few of the tracks on the album, because it just sometimes you lose that bottom end.
I find sometimes when you've got in a sort of traditional rock band, it's all in the middle. You get a lot of all the guitars are sort of it's all the middle sound. Yeah. So I suppose that's the same, isn't it? If you've got all high, you need to sort of, like you say, bottom it out with a bit of bass.
So, right.
That's just in case we run out of time, I want to go into your chosen track. So I'm asking everyone that comes in to pick one song they couldn't live without, which is like Desert Islands, but without the copyright infringe. And I'm asking them to, like a bit of a chain, to pick one of their favourite local artists. So let's start with the song that you couldn't live without. You've already mentioned it once, but tell us what your song is.
I have, so probably don't need to go into detail, but it's Billy Bragg and Levi Stubbs Tears from the album Talking with the Taxman About Poetry.
Okay, should we go straight into it?
Absolutely.
I'll try. Let's see if this works. Yes. That is Leroy Stubbs' Tears by Billy Bragg, which is the pick for the song that he couldn't live without from my guest this week, which is Gary Wilcox. And it's very sort of the real and realistic tragedy of that song. It's quite difficult to listen to in some ways, even, you know, as brilliant as it is. And reminds me thematically of the album I had on the turntable this week was Berlin by Lou Reed. And it's a similar kind of theme where it's like a very, very toxic relationship, you know, that ends very tragically. So
they don't tend to end well, to be honest.
No. So let's go on to, I'm fascinated by this next song. I'm going to get you to pronounce it, but I'm asking each person to come in to pick a song by one of their favourite local artists. And this is a Stoke band.
Well, it's a Stoke artist, yeah.
Stoke artist.
So I've chosen Merriman.
Yep.
Who is a solo artist, Bob to his mum. And he's just released his brand new album, which is called Life on VHS. Obviously, I don't have favourites because I love all of our local music artists, but I do think this is one of the best local releases of the year, this single, if not the best. And what I love about it, Wilcox Salsa, a band very passionate about our local area, and we write a lot of songs about Stoke, and so does Merriman. In fact, his entire musical canon is rooted very firmly in the local area, and he writes songs. So there's a song on the new album called Cables in the Festival Park, Cable Cars in the Festival Park, and it's just about when the Garden Festival was there. And there's just songs about vignettes about very real kind of people from the local area, about real characters, and he just does it brilliantly. But what I love about this song that I've chosen is that he's written it a little bit in dialect, so the song is called A-Up, Awat, Arate.
Fantastic. Let's go straight into it. I love it.
A-Up, Awat, Arate, the old and sound, cheers, ducks are made.
The Doorstep Mixtape with Tim Lee on Redshift Radio.
It's very difficult to listen to that and not smile. I don't think it's possible, in fact, but I absolutely love that. That's the local artist pick of my doorstep artist of the week, Gary Wilcox. And I'm going to try this just to really embarrass myself. It was called Hey Up, How At, All Right, All Right.
You're a natural. You're a natural. That was better than I said it.
Yeah, by The Merryman.
Yeah, by Merriman. Check out Merriman.
By Merriman. Yeah. Keep thinking he's a band. He's not a band.
He sounds like his band because he plays all the instruments himself. Programs everything, but he's brilliant. I'm a huge fan of Merriman's, and you should definitely check out his music. New album out called Life on VHS. Go and buy it.
I think I'll definitely be checking that out. Thanks, Gary. So I think hopefully, we haven't got much time, but we're going to try and very quickly fit in one more song.
I think we can squeeze one in.
Go for it.
I'm not going to do a 7-minute epic. I'm hoping this will go well because obviously we were going to play some songs with Phil here and he was singing the others, so I've pulled this one out of the bag without much rehearsal, but this is a track from the album called Be The Change.
Go for it.
Number one, don't trust the public when it comes to a public vote. Number two, sleep on your words unless they might slip out of your throat. Number three, all politicians are lying through their teeth to us all. Number four, we should all run more or walk, there's a whole world to explore, and these are my words of wisdom given unto you in all good faith. Don't worry about the things that you can't change, that are out of range. Worry about the lives you can touch. Number five, give generously to your friends and to charity. Number six, don't mix your drinks if you want to remember with clarity. Number seven, life's not Instagram. You can't filter all of the bad stuff out. Number eight, don't stay up late if you know you've got to be up early. And these are my words of wisdom given unto you in all good faith. Don't worry about the things that you can't change, that are out of range. Worry about the lives you can touch. Be the change that you wanna see in the world between you and me. Getting out of here alive. Number 10, challenge all men who think misogyny is right. And these are my words of wisdom given unto you in all good faith. Don't worry about the things you can't change, that are out of range. Worry about the lives you can touch. Worry about, don't worry about.
Live in the studio, that was Gary Wilcox with Be the Change off the new Wilcox Hulse album, All Change. And that's definitely one of my favourite tracks on the album. I think my other favourite track, which we haven't got time to play, but I definitely will be doing in the future weeks, is When Young Men Went to War. Absolutely love that song.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of really positive comments. Can I just do a very quick plug, by the way?
We
have a single being released on Monday. The Man with the Thin Skin from the album is being
released. Oh, another
great
song.
And we would have done that tonight, but Phil sings it, he's not here, but we're going to release that on Monday with a non-album a cappella track as a kind of B-side.
Right. Oh, brilliant.
And there's a video for that, and that's all going to be out on Monday. So keep an eye on the Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Wilcox Hulse, all one word there. But on the album, we're separated by a colon.
You are. It sounds painful. You're joined by a colon. That's even worse.
Yeah,
human centipede. Sorry, let's not go there. Don't end the show this way. Okay. Right, so, I was just about to say what Gary's just said, that you can find Wilcox Hulse on Facebook at Wilcox Hulse. You can find, I've got the Droma Records website up. It's dromarecords.bandcamp.com, and you can find their new album All Change on there. But we've run out of time. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface. I've got so much more to ask you.
I think we both have a lot to say, and we feel like the world needs to hear it.
But, of course.
Maybe we can reconvene at another point in the future.
Definitely. So yeah, wish Phil all the best and his family, of course.
Will do. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming in. I'm going to try and auto fade to this to my end of show song, which is End of the Line by Roxy Music. So let's see if this works. Wait there a second. There we are. It's working. Let's go to. Yeah, you probably shouldn't talk through all the various things that you're doing on air, but I'm just pressing auto fade and praying that this works going into the next next show. But thank you so much for coming in, Gary. That was brilliant.
No, thank you for having me, and we'll be back in with the full complement of the band next time, I'm sure.
Brilliant. Bring the viola.
Yeah, absolutely, we will. And keep up the good work with the show.
Thank you, sir. And yeah, please check out Gary's music in Don't Call Me Ishmael and Wilcox Hulse, because they really are something special.
A huge thanks to Gary for that fascinating interview, and a huge thanks to you at home for listening in. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast for all the great episodes I've got coming your way in the next few weeks. Take care.